Katuma, katuma, katum, umma, katuma, katuma, katum, umma, katuma, katuma, katum, umma, katuma, katuma, katum.
I am a snake shedding skin. I am a butterfly emerging from a chrysalis. I am a wave rising and crashing. I am the sand standing my ground. I am spring blooms unfolding. I am a volcano exploding. I'm a child's voice singing into the night, just to tell the dark it'll be alright. I am thunder boldly clapping. I'm new territory, mapping out my plans past fear and on to freedom now. I'll reach up till my hands feel clouds, until the world is held in song, until each soul knows they belong. I'll take my inner gifts and give them, take my biggest dreams and live them out in a global exchange of skills, ideas, and positive changes. Letting our hearts lead the way, connecting on a level our history begs for. Even though we've got many miles to go, even though we'll have more burdens to bear, even though, hey, it's easy to say that the part I would play is too small to care. Even though some days are mighty hard, and where I am isn't where I wanna be, even on the darkest of days I pray that I still find a way to let myself be light everywhere. I'll be a bird singing joy. This channel plays only good news, comprised of the thoughts that I chose to choose. I am a mirror becoming a window, seeing my reflection and everyone around. Though now I let the light filter all the way through, learning to stay open and true to light everywhere.
A bird, a bird at rest, tenderly tending my makeshift nest. Twigs and leaves, a bird at rest, twigs and leaves, a bird at rest. Was a bird with unstretched wings.
patiently waiting for so many things. Roots and branches, and unstretched wings. Roots and branches, and unstretched wings.
Lynn O'Brien, called Light Everywhere, just came out earlier this year. And we played the title track, and then I Am a Bird. And the reason I say there's a theme, because Light Everywhere actually started by saying, I am a this, I am a that, I'm in various other things that a human being normally is not. And then, of course, the one called I Am a Bird. Lynn O'Brien and Nick Damaris are going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana for a show tonight at 8 o'clock. That's significant because Lynn and Nick grew up knowing each other, sometimes performing together, then went their separate ways and managed to get together for a collaborative show in Minneapolis earlier this year. And they are taking their show on the road, I guess. I met Lynn, must have been like 2004 or 5, mm-hmm. maybe something like that. She was in the cast for a production of Fiddler in the Roof that the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company was putting on, and I was the music director of the show at that time. And I don't remember which your character was. Huddle?
Zeidel.
Zeidel.
With the baby.
With the baby, oh, yeah, okay. And I remember thinking she was, we had a wonderful cast, but I remember particularly thinking that she was a wonderful singer at the time. And Nick, I had not met before, right now, as a matter of fact. In fact, I'm not even positive that I said your last name right.
Nick Damaris, I think you said it correctly.
Well, that's what I said. Okay, well then, very good. As you can tell, Lynn and Nick are both with us here in our studio. here on Live and Local to give us a little bit of a preview of tonight's show. It starts at 8 o'clock, I think I said that. And so in my promo for today's show, I sort of basically played on the you're both grew up around here, knew each other, went separate ways and are getting back together, but I don't know much of anything about the in-between. You know, what did you... Actually, Lynn, I guess I do know that you ended up being a music therapy major in college.
Yeah.
And where did you go to school?
We actually both went to Illinois State University in Bloomington Normal, though we weren't good friends yet, but we'd kind of seen each other perform throughout high school and college. And as I was finishing up my music therapy degree, and you were finishing your degree
in theater.
We kind of jammed for the first time and thought it was really fun. But it wasn't until another year or two later, he was doing a theater residency in Minneapolis. Then we started hanging out and realized that it would be really great to make music together.
So when you say you kind of jammed together a few times, what did that mean at the time?
Literally on my last day of school at ISU, the day I was to graduate, I was, as I am usually, trying to get everything in last minute. And I ran over or biked over to Lynn's dorm at ISU. And we hadn't hung out, I think, in the whole 4 years I was there, pretty much, right? And she was always playing around town. And we always meant to get together. And literally on the last day, I ran over to her dorm. And we hung out for like 2 hours. And
made up some music with some songs, singing and beatboxing. And
just played around in like the dorm room lounge. And we're like, oh, let's do this again. And we... You know, you say that all often to people, oh, let's get together again. And then 2 years later, when I was in Minneapolis working at a theater up there, I knew Lynn lived there and worked as a music therapist and played out as a musician. And I said, oh, we should get together and hang out. And then we started getting to know each other as creative artists and as people. And that was the seed for everything that has come since.
Which is how much? I mean, your note to me, Lynn, said you played our first big collaborative show as opposed to a small show or a non-collaborative show.
I guess, you know, we're just kind of starting to perform together. We've had some fun visiting each other and playing for fun in our own homes, but now we're kind of bringing the joy out to other people. And we went to a Bobby McFerrin concert together in 2011, which resulted in us both singing a duet with Bobby on stage, which was kind of a improvised. They were both improvised, and it was really a surprise.
So you just went to this concert of his, and
yeah,
you got pulled on stage?
Or? Yeah, he kind of said, does anyone want to sing a duet? And then Nick raised my hand in the air, and all of a sudden I was on stage. And then later Nick went up and beatboxed and did this incredible rap with Bobby. And afterwards we were both so buzzing from the experience that we decided we wanted to work with Bobby McFerrin more because he's a real mentor for both of us. So we found out about a workshop he was giving out in New York at the Omega Institute called Circle Songs, where he was teaching and speaking and singing a lot with groups of singers who wanted to learn how to facilitate circle songs and bringing people together in community, making up music. So we did that for a week. Together.
We drove out. I flew to Detroit. This was during Hurricane Irene, the two hurricanes ago in New York, before Sandy, when the hurricane shut down like flights and this is 2011, fall of 2011, whatever hurricane was then. And so I flew to Detroit instead of flying to New York. Lynn flew to Detroit as well, and then we rented a car because the flights got canceled into New York. So we then rented a car from Detroit to New York.
And drove directly to the site of the hurricane and had an amazing
week. And sang and played the whole way. And since our time in Minneapolis and then through the Bobby concert, going to Omega, and even through then, it's been... we haven't played shows together much, but I feel like we both feel that we really know each other in a lot of ways, musically and creatively, and have a great sense of listening to each other on so many levels as performers and as friends as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back a bit. You grew up in Champaign or Urbana or both, Lynn?
Yep, we both grew up in
You also grew up in Champaign?
Grew up in Champaign as well.
Yeah. What were you doing here, Lynn, besides being in musicals when you were a kid?
When I was a
kid. Musically speaking.
Oh, so did some musicals, was doing talent shows, was playing a lot with my family, who's also musicians. We would play at nursing homes and at home for fun. And
I'll just add, sorry to interrupt, that we've had one of your family members on this show a few times.
Yeah.
Margaret O'Brien.
Yes. She's a magical person.
Yeah, is your aunt. And I have to say, she's one of my favorite repeat performers on the show, because she has such a wonderfully warm way of singing, and especially of writing songs, and just being herself in a room. I'm not exactly sure what I mean by that, but if you were in the room with her while she's singing, I think you would know.
Yeah, she's incredible.
But in any event, so you're doing some things with your family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Margaret was a huge part of that. I mean, a huge influence with songwriting. When I was 12, she took me to my first recording studio, and we were always kind of trading back and forth songs we were writing, and she and my dad are both songwriters, so it was kind of a part of our family's culture to share songs and add harmonies to each other's songs, and so I was staying busy with that, and I also did a little bit of dance. I found out later at the same dance studio where Nick went when he was a kid, but we didn't really know each other then.
We've always kind of strangely been together. High school together, college together, both did CUTC.
And ended up in Minneapolis for work.
Both ended up in Minneapolis. Both studied at the same dance studio in Champaign.
Which was which one?
Was it Christine Rich?
We were both right? Art in Motion.
And was it Art in Motion? I was at Christine Rich before, yeah. And then Art in Motion over in like West Champaign.
Mm-hmm. And what CUTC shows were you in?
I was in Anything Goes and Crazy for You, which we were in together. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was going to say, boy, if you told me you were in one that I'd music directed, I'd been slightly embarrassed. But
no,
you
you're
didn't,
off the
so
hook.
Then that's
yeah,
good.
No.
You wouldn't forget having worked with Nick, I bet.
Yeah, we just had so much overlap, and it's been so interesting, and how kind of long it took for the seed to ripen for us to collaborate and to kind of know each other. But it's feels like it's from long ago.
So you ended up getting your degree in acting.
Yeah, I went to Illinois State for theater.
And are you mostly working as an actor?
That has been, the since I graduated school, most of my employment has come from working in the theater. I left Illinois State and immediately went to Minnesota to this place called the Great River Shakespeare Festival. And I was there for 2 summers, and that was before I met Lynn, even in Minneapolis. And so I've dotted the I's and crossed the T's all over the Midwest of Wisconsin and Minnesota and Illinois, working regionally around. I've done a lot of Shakespeare. I just did my first musical professionally in Aurora at this beautiful new theater called the Paramount Theater. It's an old theater, but it's a new company, and we did this musical called In the Heights, which is an incredibly dynamic, wonderful new musical. Came out in 2008. That's a mixture of salsa, merengue, hip hop, all types of Latin musics and all types of American music. That won the Tony in 2008 for best musical, best score. It's really, really fantastic, and I was the lead character in that, and got to rap and sing and act and beatbox and kind of use all my wheelhouse of skills. But so primarily been working in the theater, and when I'm not in the theater, I'm teaching workshops. Since my experience in Shakespeare and my love of words kind of mashed up with my love of rhythm and beatboxing, I teach workshops on hip-hop and Shakespeare and the parallels between the rhetoric and the language and the play and the musicality of Shakespeare, and the play and the rhetoric and musicality of hip-hop, and in the writing, in the use of rhythm and the use of play and language. And when I'm not doing that, I'm solo performing, and I had been doing that since about 2010. That's part of the reason I moved to New York, is so many great musical opportunities there as a solo performer, so many clubs, so many music venues. And then Lynn's been doing her things for as long as I have known her since. I mean, I remember you singing in jazz band in high school and beyond and before. So, and then I think we decided about a year ago that it was really time to kind of officially start collaborating and start working, because we have so much. It's like effortless joy and fun when we're together. We just play, and it. No limit to where that can go.
Well, I want to follow up on the connections between Shakespeare and hip-hop coming up, but since we've been talking about about you doing some things together, let's have you do something together. We've heard Lynn solo on a couple of wonderful songs. What I know you got different configurations. You have a ukulele in your hand at the moment. Is that what we're going to hear first from you, Lynn?
Sure, yeah. This is a tune I wrote called Wildfire, and it's a blues on the ukulele, and you'll hear Nick doing some beatboxing on it.
The heat's rising up like a wildfire. Oh, the heat's rising up like a wildfire. I try to cool it down, but the flames get higher. And the night's falling down like a fruit from branches. Oh, the night's falling down like a fruit from branches. I try to slow it down, but it still advances. Ooh, can you move your hips like mine? Can you move your feet in time? Feel our fingers intertwine, drink our glasses empty. Can you move your hips like mine? Can you move your feet in time? Feel our fingers intertwine, drink our glasses empty.
Lynn O'Brien and Nick Damaris. What did you say that was called?
It's called Wildfire.
Okay, I did remember. She was on the ukulele, and I hope you could hear Nick on the beatboxing. That was so well blended in that just sort of augmenting the rhythm of what Lynn was doing. This is probably a thing that beatboxers do, but what were you doing with your left hand? It sort of looked like a Bobby McFerrin thing.
Yeah, it's kind of I kind of get that from Bobby, but I started my first experience in music was as a tap dancer. So rhythm is so in my body, and then I was a drummer. I took drum lessons at Skins and Tins growing up. And then I became a beatboxer after I listened to an a cappella group at Centennial High School that I admired. Then I really got into extension cords and other guys and U of I a cappella groups. And then Bobby McFerrin was really the ultimate. I'm imagining the instrument. So when I'm doing this, I'm like imagining a shaker. And sometimes I'm imagining the drums. So like I'm imagining the drumstick in my hand. And it actually, the physical articulation helps me keep in mind what I'm playing or the quality. You know, in theater, And in acting specifically, not to get too deep on acting theory, but this guy Stanislavski, who so much of what we see in film is based off of what we call method acting, where we see Robert De Niro and Al Pacino and all these famous actors practice, is based on something Stanislavski developed in Russia called method acting. But the last thing Stanislavski developed was that physicality drives emotion. So when I'm playing, when I have a light quality in my arm and I'm playing it like I'm playing a shaker, and my mind goes, oh, I'm playing a shaker. So my mouth then receives that. If I'm doing something stronger with my arm, so you can't see what I'm doing, but if I'm, there's a fluid quality to it and there's a looseness to it. If I'm more staccato or more direct with my arms, there's a more like real technical, you know, quick and hardness to that quality of playing.
And I can imagine that, I mean, for our listeners who, of course, can't see you, you could probably imagine what he was doing with that left hand is as if he was playing, you know, some part of a drum kit, you know, maybe snare drum back and forth to a couple of different cymbals, something like that.
Yeah, it's almost like painting with sound. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like I'm painting. It really doesn't, I don't imagine, oh, this is a shaker, but I just feel the quality of a, I don't know what it's like to be a DJ, but when I go.
And now he's just sort of wiggling his left hand in a funny way.
And I'm like, I make little finger puppets and I wave my arms in ways that make me feel like an ocean wave, or makes me feel like the way a DJ would when he spins. And that physicality drives the quality of my sound.
Is that something that Bobby McFerrin talk to you about? I mean, partly the reason I ask is that I remember, you know, and I would see him on TV, and he would do this thing with his, I can't remember if it was left or right hand, and I always wondered if he was doing what I sometimes would do if I'm singing, which was, in my case, it's basically doing French horn fingerings.
Exactly. He did
because it would still help me sing the right notes by playing an instrument with my fingers that I no longer play.
He absolutely talked about that. For me, it was something that came before Bobby, but it has been accentuated. So he talked about playing clarinet, I believe, right? I think he grew up as a kid playing clarinet, and he was also a piano player. But I think the up and down that he would do was clarinet, and it helped him remember the scale. Mm. And even when you're in chorus, I remember learning, like, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, right? And doing the hands with it. I don't remember what they are now, but the hand symbols, and help you remember as you're going up the scale, you can feel like the up and the down. So I think there's a real correlation between physicality and singing and how you hold yourself physically and the quality of music and the quality of sound you produce.
Lynn, is there anything that's like that for you, that you have any sort of equivalence in your own music making?
Yeah, I mean, I really relate to what you're saying, and I think, you know, it may not be the best technique, but when I'm really going for high notes, I tend to put my head up higher and really feel it in my body. And I've been getting into a cappella looping on a loop pedal, which we'll do in a little bit. But when I do that, I notice that one of my hands wants to come out and kind of express what I'm saying. So stronger hand gestures if I'm really trying to hammer home a point, or just like when you're taking vocal lessons or warming up vocally, sometimes it helps to kind of point a finger straight ahead if you're really trying to think of carrying that note all the way through the line. So yeah, I'm actually, that's something Nick really inspires me. He's such a physical performer that he's just as entertained to watch, even if it was muted. And then it's really fun to hear, but letting it come through your body is something that I'm really just inviting myself to do in more and more of. And doing kind of a cappella pieces on the loop pedal really lets me explore voice and how it can move through my body.
I was thinking while listening to that, the song you just did, that knowing that you are a music therapist, but not knowing what you do with music in therapy, I could somehow imagine that song being therapeutic for some types of conditions, no idea what types of conditions they might be.
Interesting.
So give us a little insight into what you do with music in what kind of therapy.
Sure. Well, you know, music therapists run the full gamut of where they work all over the world. And I have a really great job at a trauma hospital up in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I work within a team of complementary care therapists. So we have hospital-based massage therapists. We have energy-based therapists who do Reiki and healing touch. And then two staff music therapists. So we work with people for free as part of their stay. And we're working on goals from helping someone get to sleep because they haven't slept in 3 days, helping take down nausea and perception of pain, helping people who maybe have had a stroke work on speech through singing. Sometimes if you have a stutter or if you've had a stroke and can't access the part of your brain that would create speech, you can still sing pretty flawlessly because it's a different part of the brain.
But can you beatbox?
That's a good question. I guess if Nick became a music therapist, he'd be able to bring that skill to the table. I do not have that skill, however.
She's understating her capabilities. She can beatbox far better than the average bear.
And you know how well bears can beatbox.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so every session is different. And the actual music that happens in a music therapy session is always catered to the patient, to their cultural background, their age, and most of all, their preferences in the moment. So we play everything at work from gospel to Elvis to hip-hop songs to country and bluegrass to lots of Johnny Cash up there in Minnesota.
And what about your own songs?
When appropriate, you know, it's so not about performing, and sometimes it's them performing or us playing it together. And I wouldn't, sometimes if I can tell like a lullaby of mine would really be appropriate, I might say, hey, this is a song by a local artist, or I'll just bring it forward. But sometimes we're writing songs together to work on self-expression, and I'm making up the music directed by them, and they're making up the lyrics. So yeah, if it seems appropriate and like it's really going to benefit them, I might weave in a song. But usually, you know, we have such strong emotional and memory associations with music that leaning on what they already know and feel and know in their lives is the most impactful.
I think so. One of the things, and maybe the strongest thing that Lynn and I, and that we get so strongly from Bobby McFerrin and admire so much in his performance, is that Lynn, as a therapist and as a musician and as a person, is so deeply empathetic. And my greatest goal and hope in doing performance in the theater and in music and any type of performance is only to meet the audience where they are. So to be like Bruce Lee said, be water. So if you're a great performer, from Charlie Chaplin to Bobby McFerrin to Gustav Dudamel, like I think even though he's directing an orchestra, I think it's really about knowing where the audience is and being able to dial in and tune into the frequency that they're at. And we care so much about that because that changes the quality of the show you're going to have. Like when I did In the Heights, we would have widely different shows based on the audience and based on where they were. And we would meet them where they are. And the show Lynn and I played in Minneapolis in April was so incredibly fun and successful and I think very impactful is because we had the priority was to like, how do we meet these people where they're at and bring them whatever it is they need? Like whatever the missing puzzle pieces are, let's be those puzzle pieces musically and performatively to open up whatever it is that is missing or needs filling in.
Did I read somewhere that you've done some work as a clown?
Yeah, after I got out of school, I feel like most of my training as a performer has been post-school. I feel like school just taught me how to learn. And then I got to Chicago and I studied with this incredible woman named Paola Caletto, who is a teacher at the École Jacques Lecoq, which is a famous theater school from Paris. I studied Red Nose Clown work with her. It's a European-style clown, which is a derivation of Commedia dell'arte. And I did that for a while in Chicago, and that has hugely informed my work as a performer, and especially about what we just talked about meeting the audience. And my clown teacher, or my teacher, Paola, would say that the audience is perfect. She's oftentimes actors or even musicians bemoan, well, that wasn't a good house or that wasn't a good crowd. And my teacher, Paola, would say, well, the audience is perfect. It's your job to be perfect, to meet them wherever they are, and to be, which is ultimately, I think, just the highest form of empathy that you can exercise, if you're willing to go wherever someone else is and kind of be where they are. And so that clown work really taught me about audience and how the audience is the most important. And that's why also why Bobby McFerrin is so key, I think, for both of us, is he meets people where they are musically, and he uses them as an instrument and empowers them and makes them feel like the instruments. And that's an incredible feeling to, you can say from experience, to be in the audience there, as you probably know. It's like people walk out with smiles on their faces, and that's our goal as musicians. That was our goal in Minneapolis, and that's our goal tonight at the Iron Post, is to get people to leave with this sense of like openness and joy and readiness to just do anything and share with each other.
Their show at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana is at 8 o'clock tonight, they being Nick Damaris and Lynn O'Brien, originally from Champaign, Urbana. And very pleased to have them today on Live and Local in our studio. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our programs are made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. If you like this show, like to hear it again, or missed some of it and want to be sure you catch what you missed, there are a couple of ways you can do that. You can check our website. We put this show up on our archive usually within a day or two, sometimes the same day. Or you can get the WYLL app. It's free, and if you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, it allows you to stream our AM and FM stations, listen to past episodes of some of your favorite programs on demand, and much more. And to find out how to get the WYLL radio app in the App Store or Google Play, just visit our website, which is also where you find archives of Live and Local shows, at will.illinois.edu, willinois.edu. Let's have another song from Lynn and Nick.
I'm going to do a tune of mine that is called Chicago. It's based, I wrote it while living in Chicago. I lived there for about 4 years. And it's a riff on the some of the famous versions of from Frank Sinatra to Sweet Home Chicago. It's a riff on those tunes and my time in the city. So I'm going to be using a loop pedal, which, for those of you that don't know, allows you to record your own voice or whatever instrument you're using. So here we go. Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Baby, don't you wanna? Baby, don't you wanna? We hit the South Loop at Tunes at Buddy Guy's. A taste of Chicago when some with Buddy's guides. Stories will stick to your ribs, turning legends into lullabies for your grandkids. About them bucket boys banging in Wrigley Field. We'll be singing the foul balls, you know how Ferris peel down at the beach, babies from the Ferris wheel here. Donk and Shane on the way to the Irish parade. And man, I reckon we get a deal. The second we step in line at Steppenwolf, see some theater we can feel. They do things they don't do on Broadway, hey. We'll have the time of your life. This is a boy's trip, don't bring your wife. Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. Look out to Sears Tower, smile like Sears Tower, see Sauron's eyes, smiling wide for hours. Shies like the Shire, we the Lord of the Rings. Six titles and wishing the return of the king. Now whom we call a rose by any other name. With Aragon and Telebron, a marathon of flames. Look at him soar, crashing the boards, killing the score. Give him awards, the next heir to Jordan. We cherish him more than Harrison Ford. In the fugitives, on the bloods and crypts tonight. No Superman left, cause Lex sells kryptonite. Contracts to the Daily Planet players who gentrify the riverside in
government orders from the mayor, but even he bows to our version of the Pope. The last thing you'll ever do is double cross Oprah. Don't you want to go?
I'm just going to stop you a second because we're having a little problem with the mix.
Right.
So we're not getting everything.
We're not getting everything, but sometimes you can't win them all. You know, you want to get them all.
Yeah.
But they won't all come. So you say, we try again next Christmas.
Yeah. But are you able to adjust the mix on there?
I am. It's all about mid right now.
Yeah, because I'm mostly getting, we're mostly hearing. This is public adjustment, you know, on the airwaves as we go along, because I want you folks to be able to hear what he's really doing.
Sure.
Mostly we're just getting whatever you're
whatever
doing
right in the mic, huh?
Next, yeah.
Great. So that's a good question. Let's see. Let me try again. I'm going to play one track. Are you getting that? No.
Very low.
Can you hear that one? Okay.
That's very low.
Very low. A little better. There's a little bit there.
I'll tell you what we can. I'll tell you what we'll do right now. This is the BBC Radio 1 hour, and we're going to bring in a special guest. I think what we'll do is you change up the number, and what would be most appropriate there is to. To switch up the tune we're going to do. We keep having this interference, and I think what would be best is to just move on to the next, we'll bring in the next radio ever. Can we bring in our correspondent from Tanzania, Hili Maretu Jumbo Lynn O'Brien? He's going to start a tune I think we would like to do called, on the piano. It's famous for its title in English, Not Aiming for Land, Gone.
Nicely done, correspondent.
Oh, thank you.
So this is called Not Aiming for Land, and I wrote it on my, not the most recent album, but the one after that. And it's about trying to help out a friend when you sense maybe they don't want help, and it's a very empathetic song. And Nick had heard it, and he wrote this incredible spoken word piece to go on the end of it that's called Gone. And so we've kind of meshed the two. So first you'll hear me do my thing, and then Nick will join in as I accompany him.
All over town, no one can see your face, but it's a frown. I wave, but you don't see, and you ride past. How can I keep up when you go so fast? Imagine you must feel so heavy, anchored by a burden on your own. I don't know what it's like to feel so heavy, but it is twice as hard if you're alone. Sometimes I don't think that to with all my heart. Throwing out advice you didn't ask for, oh, only pulls us farther apart. Swim in the ocean out in the blue, thinking you're drowning. I jump in too. I work to come save you, reach out my hand, but it's clear that you were not aiming for.
Blow broke camel's back without thinking. I took off the gloves and threw down the mask with no hesitation or voice elevation. I said, baby, we're done beyond resuscitation. And her face, for the first time ever, only but an instant, shot stark white fluid drained so fast you could have missed it. Eyes shattered, slowly cracked like a floor who can't react at just how fast she just collapsed. There's no screaming help, a gasp. Oh my, me or more, we have said this before. If this persists, we won't survive. If these 3 weeks can't make us fly, we'll go our separate ways and die. No more needless threats or lies, bets on who can out-survive the other. A lover finger wags, nagging sides, bragging jabs, stabbing jibes. Stay or leave our separate lives. Here we are, big surprise. Trump pulled, bluff called, bare arms, guns drawn, fingers shaking, cause I didn't wanna fire. But you made me so long. Farewell, you have you to thank. Goodbye, Gonsby, I'll love you forever now. Be bye, gone. C'est la vie, she gone, she left me cold. I dropped them tears and now I'm old. I lost the time for peace of mind. When I rewind in thoughts of c'est la vie, she gone, she left me cold. I dropped them tears and now I'm old. I lost the time for peace of mind. When I rewind in thoughts of mine, I realize I was so. The gun blast, the smoke clears and months pass, and soaked in that sad bath and soak while the fun lasts, and list to the sad bass music on repeat, ephemeral piano chords and the melancholy beat me apart like a puzzle wrong, won't fit together, so pieces belong to her when they follow her forever. Our chord, yes, was tethered, now snipped, it is severed, and I'm lighter than a feather, and I'm keeping all the pleasure for myself, no one else. I'm captain of my endeavors with all the buttons and levers in my fortress made of clever. No one's getting in here ever, cause my skin's thicker than leather. You can huff, puff, scream, pout, beg, I'm not coming out. I'll pretend I'm not home. No, you can't make me go faster. I'ma take it slow in my roto corazón. Maybe someday I will pick up the phone, but after years of this song, I'm sure that you have moved on. C'est la vie, she gone, she left me cold. I dropped them tears and now I'm old. I lost the time for peace of mind when I rewind in thoughts of
C'est la vie, she gone, she left me. I dropped them tears and now I'm, I lost the four piece of. When I rewind in thoughts of Aria, I was so, I was so, I was so, I was so.
Lynn O'Brien and Nick Demaris, who will be doing that song, I imagine, tonight.
With that grand piano at Iron Post.
With the grand, yeah, instead of our little grand clavinova.
I mean, this is fun too, but yeah.
It's different. That'll be at 8 o'clock tonight, the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. We're pleased to have him in our studio today. Our program on Live and Local is made possible by the Danville Symphony Orchestra, presenting Mancini and Moonlight on Saturday, October 12th at 7:30 p.m. The program features works of Henry Mancini, including Moon River, The Days of Wine and Roses, and more. More information is available at 217-443-5300. Before we hear a next and, I think, final song from Lynn and Nick, a couple of things. I want to first do a little business by telling you of some other events you can go see and hear live in our listening area for the next couple of days. The Diva and the Dude, who are Kathy Harden and Andy Baylor, will be at the Pink House in Ogden for a show tonight at 8 o'clock. Also at 8 o'clock tonight in downtown Urbana at the Rose Bowl, it's Jason Parrish's Acoustic Jam. And the Station Theater in Urbana is presenting the play White People. It runs Wednesday through Sunday for 8 o'clock shows, and I think for another weekend after that. We're going to be having a preview of that coming up on the show before too long. Larry Gray, the jazz bassist based at the University of Illinois School of Music, is giving a recital with his colleagues tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Fiddler Betsy Ellis is back at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night at 7. It's the weekly Gunny Sack Review at the Yoder Center in Arthur tomorrow night also at 7 o'clock. I said I would follow up on this because I'm very curious to know a little bit more about the connections, Nick, between hip-hop and Shakespeare. You said there's some I don't know if similarities of rhythm or at least parallels of rhythm.
Sure.
A little bit more.
There's
about
so many
that.
Similarities. They're actually just not even different to me anymore. And the reason is we tend to think about things through lenses. So we tend to think like Shakespeare and big fluffy costumes and tights and outdated language. And we think about hip hop and in a modern context from gangster rap to conscious hip hop. That came out of, you know, the street corners of the Bronx. But the thing that's at work is rhetoric and wordplay. And so when you look at the types of language that Shakespeare, the characters Shakespeare wrote, Kate and Petruchio, for example, or Beatrice and Benedict from Much Ado About Nothing, they're the only people that are doing that now in that way are rappers when they battle each other. So when you see Kate and Petruchio say, like, B, and he says, I may be mixing up who says what, but B, and then one says buzz, and he says, well taken and like a buzzard. Well, if I be a buzzard, best be where my sting. And then he says, who knows not where a wasp does wear his sting? In his tail? In his tongue. Whose tongue? Yours, if you talk of tails, and so farewell. What, with my tongue and your tail? Slap, right? That type of exchange is only really happening in rap now. If you've seen the movie, like, 8 Mile, probably the best example with Eminem, where rappers use rhetoric as a means of picking each other apart. Now, it's not what you hear on the radio, and it's not what's been commercialized. But when you look at rhetoric and wordplay that's at play in Shakespeare, it's the same style and the same devices. If you go to, actually, there's a great book from the library here that I read. I forget the name of it. It was by like Saint Teresa something, and it actually breaks down the type of devices used in rhetoric that you find in Shakespeare and hip-hop. So like paronomasia or assonance or alliteration, all these devices are most found in verse structure, and Shakespeare, I think, being the chief bard of in the English language, probably the best writer we've ever had. And rappers are the people today writing in that style. So when I'll just use an example. Shakespeare, or let's say Eminem says, "I don't rap for dead presidents. I'd rather see the president dead. It's never been said, but I set precedents," right? And that's like three. So dead presidents, president dead, never been said, set precedents. So presidents twice, and then precedents. That's a device that you find at all times in Shakespeare. And it's that flipping. You even saw it in JFK, like, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. Touchstone from As You Like It says, the fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool, right? And so it's all, so what I do in my workshops is I show people through freestyling and through word games how to create that type of language and how to, and it's what happens in rap today. It's what happens in freestyling. But I go through and break down what Shakespeare did in his text, and then I show learners of all ages, from elementary school kids to professional actors, how there's a similarity in language by letting them create it themselves. So we'll play word games that go into rhyming, that go into association. So if I'm looking at the desk right now and I go, okay, got a microphone and a loop pedal and a telephone and a table, and I'm able, like Cain, I'm going to run out the stable into the rain. I'll change my name because that way y'all won't hate me later. Will I? Yes, W-I-L-L, the best. I wonder if I can put myself to the test on other radio. I'm going to save me so I can go down back to my seat. Can't compete with anybody in the street. Want to hit the beat, but I don't know how. I'm a cow. And just like let words take you, right? And that's how... that's how the play of language happened in Shakespeare. They didn't just write the play and then it was done. Shakespeare was an actor in his own company, and they did the plays over and over and over and over and rewrote them and rewrote them and rewrote them because they played. And that's actually the same thing in the show I just did in The Heights. The guy who wrote it is a rapper, and he composed all the music out of coming up with freestyles and writing and writing and writing through play of language.
Sounds like a dissertation in the making.
It could be, yeah.
We are very pleased to have had Nick and Lynn today, and we'll have just a couple minutes to go out with something. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Go out to see him if you can, if you have the chance and inclination, tonight at 8 o'clock at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Here's a little song Bobby McFerrin wrote. You might want to sing it note for note, but don't worry. Be happy. 'Cause in your life, you're faced with trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
So make everything alright, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Please, baby, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy.
If you come to Urbana, I promise that we will wow and bam you. And I promise that we take your hand. Have a really good long night jamming.
Don't worry, be happy.
Rise up this morning.
Rise up this morning.
Smile at the rising.